Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome to Las Vegas. We are right outside the T-Mobile Arena, sports360az.com, on the road at the Pac-12 Tournament. And we're brought to you by Columbus Meats. Appreciate J.P. Patchett and the people at Columbus Meats being on the road and all of our partners, but in particular Columbus saying, hey, you need to be in Vegas, and we are a part of that. As you watch the show today, Kyle Dodd's actually here already, Sun Devil analyst, because he's a gamer. You got some time?
Yeah.
You want me to take the headset off? You just host? You could do this, couldn't you?
I could do it. I could handle it. No, I'd have big shoes to fill, you know,
yeah, what are you
literally and figuratively.
Get out of here. You turn this into Angels talk, right?
Angels talk, yeah, among maybe 9U baseball, you know, some
because you're in
stuff.
That space now where you're coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we're here in Vegas and for the game today, which is this afternoon, and we're going to go through all sorts of stuff today on the show, but I think having Kyle here, I could ask him about Jermaine Gresham re-signing with the Cardinals or Calais Campbell maybe going to Jacksonville, and he'd weigh on that because you have opinions. You're very opinionated on Twitter, I might add.
Half of the stuff I say I don't believe. I just like getting people going.
What were you doing? What were you saying? So does ASU win today, or they've already beat Stanford twice? It's hard to beat the same team three times. What happens here today?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the good news is, you know, you can beat them. Bad news is you have to do it for the third time. I think, you know, they match up decent with them. I think the guards really have given Stanford trouble over the last couple ball games. I think if we hit shots early and we can get in the lane, penetrate, kick, you know, pass, share the basketball, move our bodies, I think that they'll have a chance to pull it off. But, you know, that being said, again, I think Stanford's going to be offer a little resistance, knowing that they don't want to lose to Arizona State three times in a row. And, you know, I just think it more than anything, it'd be nice to stay a couple days here, stay a day at least. It's just been such a rough road for the Devils in the Pac-12 tournament since it came back, that such a great event. And, you know, I always like to come and hang out with you, you know, the day of the game. And just seems like so many times we're checking out when the first top four seeds are checking in, right? And that's never a good feeling. So I just hope the Devils come out and play well, and I think they will. They've been fighting and clawing and grabbing over the last couple of weeks and really have played hard and played probably, you know, above their potential.
Okay, but let me go back on something here. So this tournament, if we're looking at the March Madness field and it being in Glendale this year, the winner of this tournament is going to be a 2 seed. The winner of this tournament is going to be in the West. Of the number one seeds that are out there, would we agree that Gonzaga is probably the weakest of the four number one seeds? Or have you seen enough basketball to say, no, Brad, they're the strongest? Do you agree with me on this, that there's a lot at stake here? You don't want to be shipped off to another region,
yeah,
right? Where you run into Kansas or somebody.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously those three teams that we're talking about in the Pac-12 that have a chance to go deep into the tournament. Yeah, you want to stay on the West, especially a team like Arizona who travels so well. And, you know, how many times have they played in LA or at the Pond in Anaheim or somewhere on the West where that's essentially a home game? So,
right,
you know, seeding and where you go is so important, I think, in March Madness. But yeah, I mean, I would agree with you on the Gonzaga front. I think that's a really, really good basketball team, probably one of Mark Few's best. But at the same time, it's just so hard because, you know, when they go through stretches where they don't play a meaningful game for
weeks,
you know, weeks on end.
Yep.
And, you know, Santa Clara, you know, gave them a good game the other night, and St. Mary's always gives them a challenge. But, you know, I just think that something about being battle tested and Gonzaga obviously sets themselves up nicely in the preseason. And it's almost like it's hard to turn it back on, just like in a game. I feel like when teams shut it off, it's hard to turn it on and off. And I think that's always the challenge for them. And I think that's why you've seen them kind of float or flame out at times in the tournament, as crazy as that sounds. But I think, I mean, obviously they're a good basketball team.
Yeah. I'm just looking across the landscape this year, and the best team that I've seen in person when they played with everything hitting right was UCLA.
Mm.
That's me. Now, you've seen Oregon home and road. Okay. You've seen UCLA. You've seen U of A. Best team that you've seen so far this year in person?
I think offensively, UCLA by far. I mean, obviously they're breaking all kinds of records and numbers, but you know, I think Arizona probably the toughest of the three. They can win ugly, which, you know, come tournament time is important. I think
Half was ugly. Yeah. Last week. It was just ugly.
I thought Arizona, to be honest, was not very good at all against ASU. I thought they were very beatable that day. But that being said, they guard so well that games where they don't play well offensively, they can still pull out because of, you know, Sean Miller does a great job. As you know, he's created that staple in his program. And that being said, I think Oregon, to me, is probably the most complete of the three. They do a little bit of everything. They can guard you. They have great rim protection, probably the best rim protection in the country. I think they got a guy that's an X factor, even though I'm not a big fan of his antics. But I think Dylan Brooks, he's a kid just, you know, he's got that it factor, and he has zero fear, as we've seen this year. He's just hit some huge shots, and, you know, they got good guard play, good wings, and I think they're the most complete. But, you know, that being said, I could see any of the new three Pac-12 teams, they're the three top teams that are in the top 10, you know, make a deep run.
Okay, semifinals then on Friday night, you're going to have UCLA and U of A, in all likelihood, right? As we sit here this time of the year, who wins that game?
I think right now UCLA is playing better basketball. I mean, as we saw in Tucson, I mean, as well as Arizona guards, like I said, UCLA, I mean, you're going to have to put up some points to beat UCLA. They're just so efficient offensively. They do a great job of getting guys in space. I think a guy that's one of the more underrated players in the league is Thomas Welsh. The guy never misses a mid-range jumper. They put him in great spots. And
he's a big on the baseline. He bangs away. He does little things. And you're right, a 15-foot jump shot, he's deadly.
Yeah, I mean,
just deadly.
I very rarely see a miss. And that being said, Lonzo Ball's obviously a stud. And
what would you do with his shot? Because you're a shot guy. People don't know this about Kyle. Kyle works with NBA guys. He works with kids. He does training. He does all that stuff. It's not just ASU basketball analyst. And you see his shot.
Yeah.
What would you change about it? We're on a stream, so you can actually, you move the elbow in.
Yeah.
What do you think of his shot?
I think the biggest thing is, at this age, you're not going to reconstruct anybody's shot. You know, it just... You've so many muscle memories and that kind of thing. But one thing I would do, if you look at his shot, his finish is where it should be. His finish is strong, you know.
Okay.
But I think where he hurts himself is he starts that ball so low and it comes across the left side of his body that if you watch, all the big shots he's made this year have gone going left and into a step back, because going left naturally into a step back and he can bring the basketball up through and let it go, and he finishes the right way, but again, it's all going left. So I think that the next level, he's going to have to develop a different starting point. I think the finish is never going to change. I think the starting point on the shot has got to be a higher load, and, you know, he gets it off quick for as long of a range of motion as it is. He still gets it off quick, but yeah, I think he's special in other aspects of the game. He's unbelievable out of rhythm passer, finds a way to get balls to, you know, his scorers and his guys in their rhythm, not in his rhythm.
Is he Jason Kidd to you?
I think he's got those capabilities. I mean, he's a guy that could be mid dribble and a scorer's ready to get the basketball and boom, out of his rhythm, one handed off the wrong leg, lob, perfect pass to the rim. And those are the things that I think impressed me the most about him. And other than his pops, I think.
What do you do with the pops? What do you do with that?
I just think that at some point, from what I hear, it's mostly calculated. It's
sure, that's what I think too.
It's, yeah. So, but yeah. You know, I think the one thing that could take away from how good he's been this year is if his dad keeps talking. But that being said, I think almost like we joked about me and Twitter. I don't think the dad believes half the stuff he says. I think it's all marketing.
I agree. I think there's someone that's gotten in his ear and said, "Let's create the buzz now."
Yeah.
And the buzz will build and the buzz will build and media will buy into it.
Yeah.
And he's willing to take it. I think the whole idea of the family and the 94 points and all that stuff actually plays into the whole the whole deal.
Yeah, I think he said something like, if you're gonna pay $8 for admission, we're not gonna give you $750's worth, and this is show business. And my problem with the little brothers is, and he, don't get me wrong, I mean, he's obviously instilled a great amount of confidence in his kids, but the little brother scored in 92. I mean, if you watch any of that film or the clip that they had, I saw some of them. I mean, he'd even cross half court on defense 80%.
But if he's got plays going on, because the score was 140 to 120.
Yeah.
The clips that I saw, it's okay. So he's not getting all the way back on defense. Now he's just not even going back because they're throwing up shots. He's got all those bigs.
Yeah.
I get some of that.
Yeah.
Not all of it.
I mean, the majority of the buckets I saw were just long outlets, lay it in, and then he kind of faked like he was trying to run back. But I get it. I mean, it is what it is. But
when the dad said he turned him loose, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just thought a little bit disrespectful to the game. But that being said, if you can go get 92, go get it.
Okay. The team that this weekend could make a run here, or is it just there's nobody else other than these three?
I think, a team like Utah, who's very well coached. They, Coach Krestowiak, one of my, in my opinion, one of the better coaches in the league. I think they have a little bit of length, a little bit of size. They got some guys that can make plays. And I think they've been playing good basketball. So those guys outside of the top five, I think if as bad as Cal was last weekend, I think they could maybe make a little push.
Find Ivan Rabb the ball,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, they
four
they
just, touches a game. Come
yeah,
on.
It's just it doesn't make sense. And he's a guy that's just he's got to touch it. And he not only to score, but he's a really good passer out of the post. I think anytime you go inside and he gets post touches, good things happen for them. And they do such a great job guarding. If they're just half, just a little bit more efficient on the offensive end, they could be pretty good.
All right, before you get out of here, I want to turn this discussion into something that's not going to be very pleasant. Bobby Hurley has done, in my opinion, a hell of a good job here. And there's going to be jobs that are going to come open in other parts of the country. And to me, it's just a matter of time before people come knocking on his door. I think he can actually finish the job here. Okay? Am I right? Am I wrong on this?
No, I think you're right. I think that...
This offseason, I think there's going to be people coming after him.
Yeah. I think Coach Hurley, obviously, in being around him for a couple seasons, I tell people all the time, I'm still in shock sometimes broadcasting the game. I see him marching up and down in front of me. I'm like, that's Bobby Hurley. Like, Bobby Hurley's at Arizona State. That's pretty cool. I think that he's got the things heading the right way. I mean, we have a chance to be really, really good next year with the guys that are sitting out and the guys that are coming in. And I think there's a chance to be really good next year and the following year even better. So I think if we can keep Coach Hurley around, which I think in all indications are that this is where he wants to be. But mm-hmm. That being said, he's such a great coach that you can't control. There's going to be interest, always going to be interest, because he's such a great up-and-coming and a rising star in the business.
I mean, right now, LSU came open yesterday. Is ASU a better job than LSU? I would say yes. North Carolina State came open. North Carolina State, a better job than ASU? I would say no, because you've got Duke and North Carolina surrounding you.
Yeah.
Now, Bobby's got Arizona down south, but I don't think it's that bad. Missouri, I think ASU's a better job than Missouri. So I don't know if, from every indication, when Coach Krzyzewski retires, it's not going to be anybody than Jeff Capel, if I'm supposed to believe everything that's out there.
Yeah.
That to me makes the most sense for him, but and his kids are young, his kids are like, he's got a seventh grader, I think.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to connect dots here and let fans get in the ideas that are out there. Do you see places that would make sense for him?
No, I think he should stay here forever. I love it. I love his style. I love the way he gets these guys to buy in. I mean, really what they've done this year, going 6-7 at the 5 and 6-4. I mean, Cody Justice is a combo guard playing the 4.
Against Lauri Markkanen on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, to win Saturday. 7 games in the league, in year 2 doing that, I hope he goes nowhere. So, and I think that, I have never sat down and talked to him at length about any of this, but I think that, just any visit we have had with him, he's really enjoying being in Tempe and being at Arizona State and being in Arizona in general.
If he could get Joe Caldwell's grandson for a year.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
For just a year. Yeah. I could even handle the dad.
Yep.
Just for a year. That's about all
nice.
It's going to be.
Yeah, he's decent.
he can play a little bit. Yeah. All right, get inside. Appreciate you coming out.
All right, thanks, Brad.
See you, man. There's Kyle Dodd. Coming on by, doing his thing, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, live in Las Vegas outside the T-Mobile Arena. When I say live, let's just do this real quick because I can. You just flip it around there. That's our this isn't bad. This isn't bad. We'll be back with more after this timeout. Brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats, on the road with ASU at the Pac-12 tournament. Back here in Vegas, brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats, on the road at Pac-12 tournament, day number 1. Arizona State and Stanford will be the first game at noon here, 1 o'clock in the Valley. We're doing the show out of the plaza here, the Toshiba Plaza, at the T-Mobile Arena. This place is awesome. I don't know if it's going to be as well put together. It can't replicate what we had at MGM Grand for the last several years. last season, well, last year when I was up here. So I came up to the show, and I'm downstairs prepping, and Bill Walton walks in. And Bill is somebody that I broadcast with back in San Diego years and years and years ago, and is a good friend. And we may get him by phone out. I'm not going to ask Bill to walk out here with people and all that. And I go out to center court, and it's about 9 o'clock at night at the MGM, and it's Tuesday night before it all gets started. And there's Bill. Bill's sitting by himself, and he's putting in all of his prep work, and he waves me over, and we sit and we visit. And he says, let's go to dinner. So we walk through the MGM, and walking through the MGM with Bill Walton's kind of fun because, of course, everybody wants a piece of him, and he's talking to everybody. And it's like a coach's convention, too, when you get up here. There's all sorts of old-timers around the college game that's good to see. In Vegas right now, you had the West Coast Conference tournament last night where Gonzaga was playing. The hotel I'm staying at was filled with Gonzaga fans. And I say this every year. And, Eric, you've done this now. If you're talking about bucket list and sports things for fans to go do, wouldn't you put this on there? Like I'm sure there's fans that want to go to 16 at TPC Scottsdale just to experience that when the golf tournament rolls into town. But am I overhyping this event, that this should be one that you just want to do once? It's kind of like the first day of March Madness, the first weekend of March Madness in Vegas.
Yeah, the best part for me, Brad, of the Pac-12 tournament is day one, because the basketball starts before lunch and the basketball ends just before midnight. And there's only about an hour to 45 minutes between games. So you'll enter the arena when the sun is not even above your head, and you will leave not long before the next day started. And you won't have to go anywhere. It's just back-to-back-to-back games. And that's fun, especially in a competitive league like the Pac-12 is. Although it's top-heavy this year, it's still fairly competitive.
Yeah, we're going to have Don McClain, by the way, here in a few minutes. No, I think it's very competitive, but it's more the fan experience. Now, where this place is, for fans that have come up, and primarily they've been U of A fans, because every year U of A is playing here in either the semifinals or the finals. But it's not at the MGM. It's across the street. It's right behind New York, New York. And it is in an open area. For the last several years, we've done this show poolside, which has always been fun. It's spring break and poolside. It doesn't suck. So we'll see how it plays out on the inside and everything. I think next year, you and I were having a discussion yesterday when we were together about what to do next year when Grand Canyon is up here. And I think ASU will be better and U of A will be better. And I was kicking that around last night. I was down on the strip bumping around. And I think it's going to be two separate venues. Like, I don't want to be in the same hotel area as you. You're going to come back. You got sick last year. But next year, we've got to bring the whole staff up, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. And I think, you know, Larry Scott's done a lot of really good things since he's been commissioner of the Pac-12. But at the top of that list has to be taking this tournament out of the Staples Center, where you'd get 4,000 to 5,000 fans, even for a championship game, and relocating it to Las Vegas, specifically around the time some of these schools are on spring break. Like, you need another reason to get to Las Vegas during spring break. Hey, let's go down there. The tournament's this week.
Yeah. Okay, there's some other things that are going on. So Josh McCown, hosted by the Cowboys today. Tony Romo, Life Without McCown, or Life Without Romo. So they bring Josh McCown has been around, gosh, I mean, you and I weren't even working on this project. I think you were still doing stuff down the dial and all that.
Yeah, Josh McCown played at Sun Devil Stadium. I mean, that's pretty much all you really need to know when you're talking about how old Josh McCown is.
So that caught my eye. The 49ers signing Pierre Garçon. So they need wide receivers. Pierre Garçon's best days are way, way, way behind him. But I get where John Lynch is. He's trying to blow guys out, and probably from a cap flexibility standpoint. I'm just looking at these moves and going through them. The Cardinals franchising Chandler Jones, like, that's not a surprise. Them re-signing Jermaine Gresham, that's not a surprise. I think it's good business that they re-signed Jermaine Gresham, because Jermaine Gresham, as the season went along for Carson Palmer, it was very clear they had something going on there. And, you know, Calais Campbell, if tomorrow at 1 o'clock he signs with Jacksonville, then fine. It's Jacksonville. If he signs with I'll be interested to see where Calais and Tony Jefferson go. Where they go will tell me a lot about their belief in Arizona, one.
Yep.
And two, if it's just chasing money. You know what I mean by that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this, and I mean, Calais is what, 31 years old? So he could go for the money grab. He could. Because he wants that one last contract. I don't think, as you and I know, Calais, he would do something like that. But again, when you're talking about trying to this is his last big run. Maybe he'll sacrifice the wins for the bigger paycheck.
No, I think for him going to Jacksonville, that just is a money grab. There's no other way to put that. Why would you leave Arizona to go there unless you just basically were told, we don't want you here anymore. It's time to move on. Why would you do that? If Tony Jefferson gets paid big bank as we're expecting to, and he goes to a team that is below the radar, a team that's, if he goes to the Bears, let's just throw a team out there. If he goes to Chicago, then I'm saying, okay, then it was all about the money because he has a much better chance of having big success here in Arizona than he does in Chicago, let's just say, if that's where he ends up.
I got another team that would be an interesting landing spot for Calais. Can you imagine Calais going back to Miami and playing alongside Ndamukong Suh?
Well, that's one, okay. But I would say, not that they need it, but what if Calais says, I just will take whatever I can get and go to Denver. I'll go back home.
Yep.
So those are two places that you look at. But, yeah, no, for him to go to Miami, go back to the U in that area, that makes a lot of sense. If both of those guys go out there and shop themselves, and I wouldn't rule this out, Eric, if both those guys go out there and see what the market bears and they come back to Arizona, then I think it says an awful lot about the way that things are set up here. Remember when Rashad Johnson left and he went to Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
And there was all this big buzz about, well, Rashad Johnson, that's a big blow. They're really going to miss him on the backside of the defense. I don't know. If you feel like you're this close to winning, now he got paid. I get it. But if you feel like you're this close to winning, do you want to win or do you want to get paid? Did he go chase a check in Tennessee? And yeah, they're better. They're better. So for me, it's going to be where do they? I'm not going to get all wound up about dollars and cents initially. I want to see, okay, where do they land? And if they land for a team that's not a contender, okay, then it's got to be a money deal. And if the money's equal to Arizona, then I'm kind of looking around at the Cardinals and saying, well, what gives here? Why'd you go this direction?
Yeah, one other NFL note. I don't know if you saw it, but Brandon Marshall decided to switch locker rooms and join the Giants for a two-year deal. So
now, could you imagine if in fact could you imagine if you had to go into that locker room in New York and you had Odell Beckham on one side and Brandon Marshall on the other? I mean, you talk about like nuclear. And if one of those guys doesn't get their touches in, don't you think that's just a matter of time?
Oh, I can only imagine. But you're going to get great quotes from your wide receivers.
Are you guys sick of the Coyotes? I am. I'm not sick of the Coyotes on the ice. I don't think I've ever been sick of the Coyotes on the ice other than when they went through rebuild, retool. Tired of the games that the NHL has played. It's the way of pro sports nowadays. Pro sports nowadays is if you do not build us the facility that we want, that we approve of, and if you don't put the money out there, public dollars out there, then we're just going to take our ball and we're going to go elsewhere. It's no different than what the Chargers did from going from San Diego to Los Angeles. So last night, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the National Hockey League, decides to come out and say the Coyotes, he sends a letter out to the legislature. Not that the legislature has more important things on their minds or things to do than whether a hockey team deserves a new building or not. Quote, the Coyotes must have a new arena location to succeed and will not remain in Glendale. Then you have Andrew Burraway, one of these owners. It's been like one after the next, quote, we've reached the point where there is no longer a path in Arizona. So if you don't see a path in Arizona, then I think the best thing to do is to move. Okay. Now, Mesa is trying a last-ditch effort, or is that just more PR by the Coyotes? The Coyotes did some public relations stuff over at Tempe Marketplace a couple of months back. It was just like, what is this? And then you'd peel back the onion. You see, oh, this is a little bit of PR to try to get the East Valley excited. The whole deal with the Coyotes in Arizona State, that didn't go anywhere. So here we are stuck once again with the Coyotes and their future in question. And the only difference this time is Seattle is closer to having a building that's in place. Seattle would be one location. Portland would be one location. I've got some guys sitting next to me from Salt Lake City here doing Utah. I would imagine Salt Lake City would say, you have an NHL franchise that might move? Shoot, yeah, we'll take it. I don't know. So when we're stuck in this endless run of what's going to happen with the Coyotes franchise, I am sure that behind the scenes, the other pro sports teams in town, if they're being honest with each other, are saying, fine, leave. Now there's more advertising dollars and marketing dollars and business possibilities for us because we do not have the four major sports. When people say to me, Brad, Arizona and Phoenix is a bad sports town, I tell them to read between the lines. That's not true. Okay. Oh, well, you guys can't support teams. No, that's not true. We do not support bad teams. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You guys should not be asked to put down hard-earned dollars to go watch slop, whether it's on the ice or on the basketball court or on the football field or on the baseball diamond. We can support the four teams just fine. And when I hear Arizona State or U of A, more Arizona State people say, well, you know, all these pro sports teams just make it so we're never going to be able to compete again. That's not true. That's not true. Winning makes things easier. Basketball has not won. When was the last time Arizona State football sniffed a Rose Bowl? When Jake, who was with us yesterday, was playing. It's a dang long time ago. Jake Plummer's north of 40. You know, so it just shouldn't be the case where we're sitting here every year saying or hearing these arguments that Phoenix can't support it. If we're just drilling down on the Coyotes, yes, it's very obvious what happened here. Jerry Colangelo built an arena that wasn't built for hockey, didn't see it coming. Then hockey came. The arena wasn't good enough. When people rip on Jerry for that, that's misguided. He was told by the NHL it wasn't going to happen. Then another group came in and said, well, yeah, we would like to put a team out there. So we did. This idea of how the far West Valley would be supportive of hockey is just ludicrous. It's so ass backwards. When I talk to smart people that see that the growth of the valley is in the Southeast Valley, every pro sports team should be trying to get to the Southeast Valley. We told you a year ago, the Diamondbacks are trying to get 14 months ago, the Diamondbacks are trying to get right across the street from where the Cubs are. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Suns go out on the res. It would not surprise me. And to leave downtown Phoenix. Downtown Phoenix is no longer the epicenter of Maricopa County. Doesn't mean there's not good people downtown. Doesn't mean that Mayor Stanton doesn't. But when it comes to the whole idea of where the Coyotes should be, it's a complete and abject failure. The fathers that said, let's build an arena on the far west side of town. Those of you who live in Glendale and Surprise that are upset by this, facts are facts. People aren't going to drive across town, one, to see hockey, and two, to see a bad product. But for the commissioner to come down last night and hammer on Phoenix and to send a letter to the legislature to say, okay, you know, we got to get this thing done. I think if the Coyotes were to leave and there was a smart group in place, I don't know how many ownership groups there have been. I've not taken the time to go back and look at the number of ownership groups that have rolled through Arizona. But I know this, there's been way too many of them through the years. And so to try to get everybody together to keep this team in place? Are you kidding me? That's not going to happen on short notice. And you're not going to strong arm the legislature of Arizona. They are dysfunctional. You'll get some of them, oh my gosh, we cannot lose hockey. You'll have some fans, oh my gosh. But at the end of the day, it's a hockey team that's misplaced. We should not be asked to build them a facility to bail them out of their misfortune and their goofs. You just shouldn't. For Andrew Barway, we no longer see a path in Arizona. Okay, you just chipped away again at anything in regards to attracting players for the future. You chipped away again at the public support that you have, as minimal as it may be. Putting pressure on by having statements come out like this, thinking it's going to motivate people? No, you have to have the right ownership. That's it, plain and simple. Then over on the Suns. Eric, did you watch the Suns last night? Did you Did you drop in on any of that?
Yeah, I saw bits and pieces. I wouldn't say I watched the whole thing. I just know there were a lot of points scored.
Did you see Jared Dudley coming to the defense of Tyler Ulis?
I did. I like seeing things like that.
Yes. Now, we have heard here in the last couple weeks, I think it was after the Memphis game, where Earl Watson said, we got to stand up for ourselves. We can't keep getting pushed around. And so Jared Dudley did that last night. It's a veteran player, a veteran move. Was that him saying, you know what, I've heard what coach has said, and I also want to keep people excited here in Phoenix? Is that a veteran move on his part? I think it was.
I definitely think it was. And I'm not buying into the, oh my gosh, the Suns are turning the corner. They beat three good teams and played well. Let's just keep things in perspective. I know there's been some people writing and saying that the Suns could be on the brink of something. I still see them as not even one of the best teams in the West.
Yeah, it's here's the thing. If this had been the case all season long, but it's March and it's Washington on a long West Coast road trip in March, it's the dead days. It's like the dog days of the baseball season. I'm not buying for a minute they've turned the corner on this thing. Are you kidding me?
You know, I was not to interrupt you, Brad, but I was thinking about you over the weekend, because did you see how badly the Heat beat the Cavs in Miami on a Saturday night in Miami? It was like a 33-point loss for the Cavs. Connect the dots on what happened when LeBron and crew went back to South Beach.
No, I mean, if you work for the Suns franchise, you are going to put out every bit of social media that we've turned the corner, and that's just, I know you're protecting your job, but it would be nice if there were some people that would just step up and say, this is a nice run, but we need to see more consistency in November and December and January. We're still, what are they, 2-3 games ahead of the Lakers? So I don't buy into any of this. It builds towards next season. Is it important that they get the reps? Sure it is. I watched that second quarter comeback last night. Eric Bledsoe was as good as, I mean, as anybody on the floor. He's better than John Wall for sure. And I think it's great that Eric Bledsoe is playing so well. It's only going to give the Suns a better chance this summer to move him. You know, they're not going to bring back Brandon Knight, so that was a failed mistake again by their front office. And they're not going to bring back Tyson Chandler, and I'm not going to call that a failure. I'm just going to say that's a veteran that his time has come, and I don't mind that. But Brandon Knight's an abject failure. It's just there's no other way to put it. It's a complete miss. And so when you have these plays over and over and over, I like seeing Chris stand up to Markieff Morris, but Chris has got he's a bit of a hothead. He gets too many technicals, and there's times where he just needs to learn and walk away. Very, very talented, okay? If he puts on another 30, 40 pounds, reminds me of Sean Kemp, just in his body build and the things that he's able to do. But, man, when you have a flaw in your game that takes you out of your game, gets too many fouls and gets too worked up about it, if he's not able to correct that, then he's not going to be anything more than just a kid that makes some occasional great highlights. Nice player. They've got some nice players. They've got some nice pieces. But do they have a team that's turning the corner? Come on. Come on. All right, Don McClain's on the other side. He's supposed to call in. Pac-12 Network analyst. He's doing the ASU game today, among others. That is next. We are live on location outside the T-Mobile Arena here in Las Vegas. It's the site of the Pac-12 tournament. Our coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. And, man, it's that time of year with it being March Madness. Get some Columbus Craft Meats, some cheese, some wine. I mean, you're going good watching all the tournament action. Thanks to Columbus Craft Meats for their support. We're back after this timeout. Back here in Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena. Brad Sismat with you. We'll go inside for the game, ASU and Stanford, here shortly. The game is on Pac-12 Network, and Don McClain will be doing the analysis. He joins us inside the arena live here for a couple of minutes as ASU tries to beat Stanford for the third time this season. Don, how are you? It's Brad Sismat.
Doing good, Brad. Excited to be here. Excited to start this tournament.
What do you make out of a team trying to beat another team three times in one season? How difficult will that be for ASU today?
It's difficult for everyone. You see it all the time. A team, even if a team handles the other team the first two times fairly easily, it always seems like that third one is tough. You know, I wonder about ASU and in their limited depth and how many minutes those starters are playing. by this time of the year? Are they getting worn down at all? But if ASU gets going and they make threes, they're tough to deal with. And if they can do that, I think they can beat Stanford again.
What is it that impresses you most what Bobby Hurley has done this season, Don?
That they've competed, that they won seven conference games with, like I said earlier, the limited depth. I mean, it's unbelievable with that group that they have that they've been able to not get dominated on the backboard nightly and stay in games with a small lineup. I mean, I know small balls in, and you see it in the NBA teams tinkering with those lineups, but to do it for a whole season and win the amount of games that they've won has been pretty impressive.
When you look at Bobby Hurley, have you seen him when he got hired, Don? I pointed out he had coached in less than 100 games as a head coach. How have you seen him grow into his role as a head coach? I'm curious on that.
I think that he now understands that whatever you thought coming in isn't going to be. By that, I mean you kind of in your mind, I think, have a plan of how you want to do things. But things change. Guys get hurt. Guys transfer. Things change. So you have to be able to adapt on the fly and change maybe even your philosophy a little bit. And I think Bobby's done that. I remember I did the first game in Palo Alto, and I was talking to him and having known him for years and years and talking to him last year. You know, he wants to be a tough, hard-nosed, man-to-man team. Well, sometimes, you know, if you have a roster that looks the way you do, maybe you can't be that. And he actually has played some zone this year, and I think that's a great example of him understanding now that you got to be able to adjust, that you have to make adjustments on the fly, not only in games but throughout the course of the season. So that's kind of the part that I've seen him grow this year.
Don McLean with us. Before we let you go, Pac-12 Network analyst, he's getting ready. And I appreciate him on giving us some of his moments. How much separation is there from your view between Oregon, U of A, and UCLA coming into this tournament, Don?
I hate to say it, Brad, but there's a pretty good amount of separation. I mean, I think those three teams are really, really good. And I think that they all three have a chance to get to the Final Four. All three are different in how they do things. That's not to say that they can't get beat in this tournament, but I think for the other teams, the bad part for them is that these three are playing for something. They all think they can get a number one seed if they win this tournament. So not only do you have three really good teams, but you have three really motivated teams. And so I think that's going to be hard to deal with for the rest of the teams in the tournament.
And how much separation is there between them? You know, when you look at Oregon versus UCLA versus U of A, are they all pretty even in your view? But as they come into this tournament, maybe you see it differently. Maybe there is some separation between those three.
I think they're all pretty close, but I would say this. Heading into the postseason, I think Oregon is the best team for one reason, that they have the experience. The experience they had last year, not only in this tournament, but the experience of getting to the Elite Eight. Most of their roster's back. So I think that's the part that tells me they have a chance to go the farthest. But that being said, Arizona does things well. UCLA does things well. Looking ahead to the NCAA tournament, it depends on your draw and what your matchups are. And if you get a good draw and you can play the way that you want to play, then I think all three teams have a chance to get to the Final Four.
Good stuff, Don. I'll let you go off that. See you inside. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Don McLean inside here at the T-Mobile Arena. So, Eric, I've been moving around the shot a little bit. What shot do you like better? That's the Monte Carlo.
My favorite shot is the one that with you in it. That's the most popular one, Jared and I decided. Not the one of the boardwalk or the arena. No, not too up close on your head. Just you in the shots.
Yeah.
No, I don't need to see your teeth. No. No, just a nice casual shot. I do like that. You can see some nice people walking down the strip and some cars going by. So, I know the shot for you is so important. Like the shot is just you're like a creator when you're on the road. Yeah, that shot.
I love
that shot. Not so much.
No,
it's okay. It's okay if you were in that shot with the basketball in the arena in the background. But
how's that? You like that? But you just want me in it.
Yeah, because it is your show.
So how about tomorrow? Tomorrow I'll screw around with shots, but I'll probably put myself with the ball over my shoulder. And maybe I'll find Lonzo Ball's dad tomorrow.
There you go.
How would that be? Would that be, you'd be good with that?
Yeah.
All right. I've had enough fun for the day. I could sit here and just screw around. And this is what it's like when Eric and I are together and he's just, you're driving me crazy, Brad. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website. Thanks for being with us.